Exciting season, guys. Very exciting season. I hope you feel excitement in your heart for what the Lord has in store for us. I probably personally have never felt so much anticipation for a calendar year like I do for 2018. Like, I feel like there is a turning of a page in like the history of our church, but also in the history actually of like the earth. There's just like a new season being birthed. And it's so exciting to me. And I believe the Lord's pretty excited. He's releasing a lot of stuff about it. And so one of the things I want you guys to be prepared for is most Januaries, we go into a month of fasting as a church. This is, of course, up to each person's own conscience, how they want to pursue the Lord. But I encourage you, maybe more than ever, to begin to think about January and how you want to use the first month of the year to like kind of set your course for 2018. And something that I just will tell you, something our family does, we always go on a media fast in January. You know, it's after Christmas break. There's been more media than normal. And my kids are so excited about media fasts. I mean, they're usually just giddy. I mean, they're so excited about not playing video games and not watching movies. And you can see it on their face. Parents, remember, you lead. You're the leader. So we do a media fast. But, you know, as a family, we think of other things, too. We say, okay, Lord, what do we need to crucify in our life? What do we need to put in place? And oftentimes we'll fast sweets, or we'll fast junk food. We'll reset our, you know, Lord, we're going to get our flesh into line here. And some people fast food altogether, going a month of fast. Anyway, I encourage you, begin to pray for that now. That's a couple weeks away, because 2018 is going to be incredible, and we're going to go after something, and we're going to start it like out of the gate, racehorse style. In January. Okay. So we are starting a new series in light of everything I just said, in light of 2018 and all the promises God's given to us. We are starting a new teaching series called Taking New Ground. And I was pretty excited about this because I had in my heart personally to start a series on my YouTube channel. I have I do short videos, and I have a YouTube channel for training and encouraging people. And I just started a new series like a month ago or a few weeks ago called Taking Your Mountains. And then Jeff came to me and he says, I really think we need to do Taking New Ground. It means the same thing, guys. It's the same thing. Taking New Ground series at church. And I'm like, oh, I've got some messages. Woo! So we took that as confirmation. We are on the same page here. The potential for this coming season, 2018, will bring with it powerful turning of a season. Many of you will be launched into new ways of different ministries and increased fruitfulness in your personal life. Here are some things that I believe are going to happen in 2018. For the first time ever, we will be hosting a Gathering the Generals conference that will be serving our five-state region. This is a long-term promise from the Lord that we would be a blessing to our five-state region. That will be happening the first week of May. For the first time ever, we will be having 3 days of prayer and worship in Pier on the Capitol ground. We will have a 100-person tent pitched right in the center of our Capitol, Pier, South Dakota, and it will be manned and run 100% from believers from our state. We're not going to bring in teams from Kansas City to do our worship. This is our worship. I mean, we can invite anyone. I'm just saying, though, we're doing this. South Dakota is doing this. And guess what? JRC, you're leading this. You are leading the way on this. Every type of believer in Jesus, from different ethnic backgrounds, from the poor to the politically elite, will be there. I believe it. We are going to be inviting our future governors to come and pray with us. We're going to be inviting our congresspeople to come and pray with us. We're going to be inviting the Hispanic churches in the state to come together, the Karen communities. We are believing that the Somalian Christians from Sioux Falls are going to show up, that we're going to have the natives there. And of course, there's going to be a few Germans. Praise the Lord. Stanley, where are you at? I said Germany. You have to hoop and holler. Yeah, that's going to be happening first time ever in the history of ever in South Dakota. Another thing happening in 2018, revival and training are coming to the college campuses like never before in the state of South Dakota. The Lord gave us this word, and then within weeks, Jeff was invited just to come to Sioux Falls and to help start a new college ministry for USF in Augustana at Church of the Gate. So he's going to be traveling monthly up to begin to help launch a campus ministry. And when he shows up, guess what he's going to be doing? Training and equipping the Christians to start revival on their campuses. And so in 2018, we're going to have houses of prayer being raised up on college campuses, multiplying discipleship fire groups emerging. Yes. It's going to be awesome. This is the key. When you know you're in a certain season and you have a promise over you and now's the season for it, it's not the time to hide in your corner wondering, what should I do? What should I do? You just get out there and start doing something. Because the Lord works with us. The Lord works with us. For the first time ever, 2018, Circuit Riders, which is a fantastically successful university ministry of youth with a mission, will be coming to South Dakota and holding first ever revival rally at USD campus. They're expecting 450 students to come, to get equipped in sharing the gospel, to respond to the gospel message, to go into all the world. They will be just spreading out all over the Vermilion at one point to share the gospel. This is happening in South Dakota. Yeah. Do you know why Circuit Riders is coming? Because there was a group in Vermilion hungry for the Lord that included university professors, college campus leaders, and students who contacted them and say, will you come and help us start something? That's happening in our state. We are not the only ones hungry out there, guys. The Lord's stirring the pot all over the place. All right. Prepare yourself, JRC, because somehow we're going to be part of the birthing of a missions movement in 2018, which I believe will involve this wave of prayer and this wave of missions coming together in a powerful awakening and move of the Spirit. In 2018, the Lord is redefining what we call missions so that we can each consider ourselves missionaries and never leave our hometown. Because guess what? You have a mission field in your backyard. And the backyard missionaries are rising up in 2018, are going to say, I'm going to go to my neighbors. I'll share with my family. God will go wherever you tell me to go. And in the midst of that, some of them are going to be called to the uttermost parts of the earth, and some of them are going to be called to Alpena. I went through that town for the first time ever yesterday. We were like, oh my goodness, there's the jerky plant. We prayed for it. We were praying for missions. They're not jerks. It's a beef jerky plant for those that are watching online in a small town. All right. And like never before in 2018, the Lord is letting Matthew 28 come alive in the hearts of his people. And it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So in light of this, in light of how pregnant this season is with promise, we said, let's do a series on taking new ground. And I want to encourage you in your own life, whatever your promise is that God has given you, now is the season for you to do something in response to it. Even if it looks weak, even if it looks small, do something to put faith to the promise God's given you. This is what I'm doing today. I am preaching on the power of a yes heart. I love this message. I love this. This is a prayer I have prayed since seriously maybe 12, 13 years old. I remember praying, oh God, yes, yes, yes. Just help me to say yes to you. Help me to say yes to you in every season. Whatever it takes, whatever it looks like, just let my response be, everyone say it? Yes. That's, oh, good. That's a good one, Janet. Thank you. There is power in a life that's lived in submission to Jesus Christ. There is so much power in a simple yes. I encourage you to begin to pray this even. Lord, my answer is yes before you even ask. I don't know what you're going to ask me, but I just want you to know in advance, yes. Okay, yep, we got that over with. Yes, Lord. Now you just tell me, and I, my heart is already to say yes. And there is so much power in that, because this is the truth. God really isn't looking for your ability. He's really looking for your availability. This is such good news. I was thinking about recently, I was thinking about Abraham and how he's this great father of faith. And I mean, hello, I mean, Jesus Christ himself came from him. We were grafted in through that promise. I mean, it's like he was the beginning of the whole Israel, the nation of Israel. I mean, there just couldn't be a more important figure in the Bible. But I couldn't find one single ability, natural ability, that Abraham had that God highlighted and said, this is why I'm using him. I mean, really, I was thinking about it this week. I was like, Lord, what made him so special? Like, was he an excellent leader? Was he a good public speaker? I mean, these are really gifts that I would want in my life. Was he a good administrator? Could he get things done? Did he, you know, what was his, like, giftings? Did he have a great personality? He could draw people to, you know, kind of draw people in. I personally, maybe you'll find something different. I couldn't see one time when God highlighted one of his natural abilities. He was just really available. And he had a really huge yes. And that was what God highlighted about him. Look at him. He's so full of faith. If I tell him to do anything, he'll just say yes. Whatever I tell him to do, he'll say yes. Leave your people and your father and go into a land that you do not know. And here's Abraham. He didn't have a Bible to look at. He didn't say, oh, well, look at Paul did it. I can do it too. There was nobody to look to but God. But once he heard, all he could say is yes. All he could say was yes. That alone made him great. This should put so much hope and faith in us, because I really lack a lot of ability in different areas. Really, I get slapped in the face with it really often. And I've just been even recently thinking about what I feel like the Lord's asked me to lead in 2018, and kind of the weight of what I feel in my heart, you know, I want to see done. And I am so aware that I am way over my head in my own ability to lead that. Like, I am beyond my leadership skill set. I don't have a leadership skill set for what I feel in my heart I want to do with the Lord. So I have a choice. I can, like, just really go full time looking for somebody else to do what I am called to do that I think might have a better skill set. But remember, Moses did that with Aaron, and God wasn't really that excited about it. Or I can just say, yeah, okay. You know, I'm going to kind of stumble through this, God, but, you know, I think you knew what you were getting. So, yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. I'm going to encourage you today in your yes. I want us to walk away from today thinking every single moment, Lord, all you have to do is ask. Like, sometimes we make our faith so complicated when really we could just simplify it to this. Whatever you say to do, my answer is yes. All I have to do is hear, and whatever I hear, I obey. You don't have to make it more complicated than that. I'm going to share with you a cool story. Any of you know John Wimber? John Wimber is a father of the faith. He's passed on now. He had a ministry, I would say, flourishing in the 80s. He's the one that started the Vineyard movement. If anyone's heard Vineyard music, if you've heard of Toronto Airport Fellowship, that was a Vineyard church that a great revival came to in the 90s. It actually changed our world, really, literally worldwide. Anyway, John Wimber was a pastor. He got saved out of the hippie movement in the 60s. I mean, he is like radically saved. Eventually, he became a minister. And he just couldn't get away from the fact that it's said in the Bible that Jesus heals. And that God's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And he couldn't get away from it. He couldn't get everywhere he went, everywhere he looked in the New Testament, he saw healing. And the trouble was, he had never, that he knew of, prayed for anybody and seen them healed. And he didn't know anybody at that time. Remember, this is the 80s, early 80s. He didn't know anybody who was walking in what he would consider a healing ministry. And he didn't especially know anybody who was equipping other people to do it like normal people, what we call normal people. Of course, we're all normal. But, you know the congregation. And so, but he says, God, I just can't get away from it. And he knew the Lord was putting it in his face, putting it in his face. And so he says, okay, I'm going to start teaching on physical healing. I'm going to teach that through the New Testament, just the parables of the Lord, the stories of Jesus. For 2 years, he preached on healing every single Sunday. And for 2 years, he called the sick forward every single Sunday. And for 2 years, he did not see one person healed. When Mike Bickle interviewed him and asked him, how did you keep going? He says, I just couldn't escape it in the Word. I knew God was asking me to do this. So he said, yes. And instead of seeing people healed, he actually said he would catch almost anything that he prayed for. Someone was sick with a cold, he'd pray for it and get a cold. He said he was scared to death to pray for a pregnant woman. Then one day, the Lord broke in. And John Wimber, what he's most known for is the five-step healing model. What he really did is he said, this is an easy 1-2-3 way to pray for the sick and to see them healed. We use that model. We have trained you in it. You didn't even know it. It is a super simple way to activate huge amounts of people. And from John Wimber, he literally began to activate thousands of people saying, hey, there's nothing special about me. You go pray for the sick. Now, we think that concept is so, yeah, that's normal. Of course everyone can pray for the sick. There was a day in the churches in America that was not normal. That became normal because a man said yes to God named John Wimber. And he said, I'm just going to keep saying yes to the Lord, no matter what this looks like, for 2 years. And then breakthrough came. And then he's like, okay, this is how I'm going to train everybody else in it. And then from there, the Vineyard movement came. And literally thousands of churches and missionaries sent out and worship music raised up. And to this day, it's flourishing. All you need is a great big yes. So here we go. Benefits of having a yes heart. I want to give you some benefits. I want to convince you on why you should just go after this thing. You probably have all the spaces all filled out already, don't you? Do you think you know what I'm going to say? Everyone watching on the internet, we give our people notes and they have blanks so they can follow along. I like to fill them in ahead of time too. So number one, the benefits of having a yes heart. God takes the dust of your life and turns it into beauty and pure awesomeness. This is why you should say yes. This is why you should go after the deepest yes a person can have. Because the best of us have dust and ashes to offer to the Lord. But the Lord says in Isaiah 61, he crowns beauty instead of ashes, and oil instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. This is what happens when we bring our lives before the Lord with a great big yes. He takes the dust, the ashes, the brokenness, and he turns it into something incredible that you could not do on your own, that I could not do on my own. Everyone say, I'm pure awesomeness with Jesus. It's so true. Number two, life becomes an adventure with limitless possibilities if you will just live a life of yes. There once One time, a while ago, there were about 5,000 hungry people on a hillside in the middle of nowhere in Israel. And they'd been there for hours and hours and hours, and they traveled miles and miles to hear this great teacher. And they were so hungry by the end of the day because of the hot sun. And, you know, they didn't have an ability to bring with them a lot of water. You know, some of them had like just a little water bottle that had been used up a long time ago. And they were hungry and they were thirsty. And there was, what were they going to do? And there was this little boy that just had like 5 loaves and 2 fish. And when those were given to the Lord with a heart of yes, God blessed that, and all of a sudden, it multiplied, and there was enough to feed the 5,000. Life becomes an adventure if you'll just give God everything and say yes. When I was young, I had a huge dream in my heart. I would say if I were to give you like 10 top dreams of my life when I was 16, traveling the world and seeing the whole world, that was one of my dreams. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you guys. When I was probably 15, 16, my dad used to get this travel magazine and I would read through it. And I read this article about these trips to the Amazon River Basin, and you could go on these like 2-week-long trips down the Amazon, and you camp the whole time. And I was like so stoked about this. I ripped it out. I kept it in my drawer for years, probably 4 years. And I told my dad, so maybe I was only like 13 or 14 because I remember it was years. And I told my dad, all I want for high school graduation is for you to take me to the Amazon River Basin. That's all. Easy. All I'm asking for is a trip to the Amazon in Brazil. I don't need a car or anything big. I didn't get to do that, guys. I'm going to do it someday. I don't have quite the same desire, actually, to go to the Amazon and camp. But the point was, I was born with a really huge sense of adventure. Really huge sense of adventure. I remember when I was 16, I was in Honduras, and and we were flying from an island over to the mainland, and the planes, they weren't well regulated, and seriously, the door on the plane, you could see light cracking through it as it shook like this, really seriously, and the seatbelts, a lot of them didn't work, and we had to tie them on us. Anyway, and I was like, what's the worst that could happen, right? Anyway, we actually got in a plane wreck. The landing gear didn't come down in the plane. And so the plane's like spinning around. I mean, emergency vehicles are coming out. And everyone survived. Nobody was harmed. You know, we landed in the median. I got out of the plane and went, we were in a plane wreck! Oh my goodness! Take a picture of me now! Nobody's going to believe this! Take a picture of the wrecked plane! Highlight of my high school childhood. Another time, that same trip, we're hiking. I was a real handful when Jeff first got me. I mean, he really worried about me a ton when we were first married. He's like, quit doing that. Stop it. We went to India on a missions trip, and I was like, oh my goodness, you're an Italian mother. You are smothering me. I am going to be fine. And the same trip, we're going, we have one day, we get to do some hiking in the jungle, and I was like, all I want to see, a monkey in the wild and a boa constrictor. So I prayed, anyway, and the trails were so boring. I was like, we are never going to see anything exciting on this trail. And so I'm like, I hear water, let's go, let's find this, like there's some water somewhere, because you could hear the river like rushing. It was really beautiful. We found this river, we're hopping along the rocks. I came off a rock, I leaped down, and my foot rolled off of a 6-foot boa that was on the ground. I screamed my head off, and then I said, get the camera, this is amazing! But somewhere, after marriage and babies and living on $500 a month and scrounging through the couch cushions for enough money to buy a loaf of bread. Oh my goodness. And taking the car apart for some change because we need to get a couple bucks together so we can get some gas. Somewhere in that time frame, somewhere in that span of quite a few years of almost impoverishment, honestly, and loving Jesus, like some dreams were just drained out of me. Like, you know, it's just not going to happen. That is not going to happen. I am, you know, that's not where my life is. God has me here. And so you just kind of quit dreaming even. You quit dreaming about going other places and doing things for the Lord. And you think that was just my youthful zeal and my a personality trait. But I tell you, when you just have like a yes heart to the Lord, He has a way of restoring dreams. He has a way of making your life this adventure that you could never have produced on your own. And I remember the day when the Lord said, I'm going to give you back your dream. Because that was actually me. I was like, wow, that was you, God. You gave that to me. I thought it was just me. I thought it was just autumn man personality at 16, 17, 18, 19. I didn't realize it was the Lord putting a special dream set, skill set, personality set in a person for an assignment, right? But with God, like, it's a limitless possibility out there. So not much had changed, yet now with this deep yes, I'm like, you could send us to Europe, Lord. I mean, I don't know why you would do that. Why wouldn't you use somebody that it doesn't take so much effort to get them there? You know, I don't have to believe so much. I don't have to like exercise my faith. He's like, I mean, he's so wise. Isn't he so wise? But really, it's not like he's looking for the wealthy or the gifted or the talented. He's looking for the available. He's looking for the willing. He's looking for the yes. That's what he's looking for. I believe as a church in 2018, we are going to go on one of the greatest adventures we have ever went on with the Lord. If we just say, oh, yes, to the deepest core of my being, God, yes, whatever it is, yes. Even in fear and scariness, so I'll say, yes. And that's sometimes how our yes looks, fear and trembling. I don't know what this is going to look like, but yes, there's no end to the adventure and the possibilities God will take us on. Number three, the benefit of having a yes heart. Let me tell you, confidence enters your heart when you say yes to God. There's something about knowing that you're not living for yourself. You're saying yes to your Creator, and you are living for someone who's way beyond you, and it's not just your own shaky ideas that you're trying to figure out, but you're actually in on a God idea. You're in on a God plan. And you said yes to something that's bigger than you. And there's a confidence that comes into your heart in that place. Like, God, I don't know how many times I've said, this was not my idea. This was your idea. I'm just reminding you, this was your idea. So this is on you. I got confidence, Lord, in you. Because I don't have confidence in myself, but in you, Lord. It's beautiful. Number four, the benefit of having a yes heart. The rewards of our yes decisions actually follow us all the way into eternity. All the way into eternity. Could you, baby? There's not that many things that follow you into eternity. I mean, you can't take possessions with you, you know? You can't take your house with you, all those things. You don't take your job with you, even though we spend so much time in our jobs. It's why we do it for the glory of God. Because when you're working for the glory of God, you take that with you as a reward. Because you can't, you know, Stanley won't be a butcher in eternity, hopefully. I don't know, maybe it'll be easier for you, hopefully. You know, whatever. Hopefully there won't be any sick animals for Dave to be a veterinarian over in the New Jerusalem. They're all going to be, you know, whole and healed or whatever. But because we work with all of our hearts as a yes unto the Lord, we take that with us, the reward of that. So our yes decisions, though, every time we said, I don't understand this, Lord, but I will say yes. I don't have to feel at peace even to say yes right now. Yes, I will love unconditionally. Yes, I will reach out to my neighbor. Yes, I will give that extra money you told me to give. Yes, I will sacrifice and serve my family. Yes, Lord. Yes, I will war with that sin in my heart that nobody else can see. But I say yes to you. I will do this, Lord. I will war this. I will get victory over this. Every yes brings with it a reward that can never be stolen from you. And every time you said yes, and I believe the ones that the yeses that are the hardest for us may carry with them the greatest rewards. And a million years from now, you'll still be looking at the reward that God's given you going, oh man, I'm so glad I said yes. I'm so glad that I have this reward now to turn around and give to Jesus. It'll never be stolen. Number five, benefit of having a yes heart. Unspeakable joy and freedom. Do you want to know who the most miserable person in the world is? Just about. Honestly, the most miserable kind of people are Christians who are living compromised lives. Oh, man. And they hear sermons about the joy of the Lord's our strength. And they're like, not for me. I mean, honestly, if you are feeling dead in your faith, if you're feeling miserable as a human being, the first thing you need to look at is how's the yes in your heart? How wholeheartedly are you responding to the Lord? Because I can tell you some of the most painful decisions I've had to make that actually cost me a lot in the natural. I mean, really cost me. Cost me comfortableness, cost me some friendships, cost me some stuff, whatever it is. Some of those decisions that were the hardest to come to and were the most costly, once they were just done and over with, I'm saying yes to this, the most joy and freedom came out of those. There's just something about being in this place where you're like, wow, I really am all yours. And I really haven't reserved anything for myself that I'm aware of. Everything I am is yours. Everything I have is yours. And in that place is a joy that cannot be stolen from you. No matter what people do to you, it cannot be stolen from you when you know everything I have is God's. I really have a yes in my heart to it. You want to be joyful? You want to be full of freedom? Say yes. Now I want to go just quickly go over the three enemies of a yes heart, the three main enemies that you're going to have to war against in 2018 and the years beyond as we enter into all that God has for us, well, all that God has for us in this age, and then we've got all that stuff to come in the age to come. But there's a few enemies that it'll be helpful for you to recognize. It'll be helpful for you to recognize that when you're having a hard time struggling, you feel like, you know, I really don't feel like I'm living a life of submission to the Lord. It's helpful for you to say, you know, what's going on in my heart? Because there's some real enemies here. Number one enemy is fear. If I say yes, what's God going to do to me? I really have heard so many people say that. What's God going to do to me if I say yes? What kind of God do you think he is? I mean, I'm just waiting for them to say yes so I can kill their children, steal their property. I mean, what in the world? I mean, what kind of character do you think he has? Honestly, the most time when we have fear in our heart to saying yes, it's because we have a lack of understanding of the character and the goodness of God. He's better than you think, even. You know, Jeff was just sharing with me this morning something, or yesterday. That was so good. You know, in the book of Acts, where it says that the church, like the spirit of giving came on the church, and they were even giving their property. They were like selling their fields and giving it to the disciples, to the apostles to feed the poor. And they were, I mean, there was a super spirit of generosity where they had everything in common. You know, it was just a few short years after that, that persecution came down on Jerusalem and the whole church had to flee. Could it be that the Lord knew you're going to lose it all in a few years? Could he have already known that? Could he have maybe been preparing his people by saying, I'm going to move you into a spirit of generosity because I know what's coming. You're not going to have this very much longer. So I want you to be free in your heart from all your stuff. I want you to be free. I want you just to sow it right now. You're going to have so many rewards for all of eternity. Believe me, this is short. This is short. You're going to get scattered. And even that's going to look dark. But don't worry, because when I write the story at the end, this is how the whole world knows. Guys, you know, like we look at that moment, we think, what would that have been like? To literally, you're fleeing out of the city for your life with only what you can carry on your back. But we read this story and we're like, that's how they went to Ephesus. That's how they went, you know, to Rome. That's how they went, you know, into all the earth. That's how the gospel spread and the name of Jesus became famous. That story is glorious to us. Like, we're here today. We know the Lord today because they were scattered. But I bet you when you were living it, it felt kind of like a nightmare. You guys, God is so good though. He's the one writing the story. And how many of the things that we say yes to now and we think, oh, that was really costly and I can't see anything good that came out of that. I wonder what we'll think in 20 years. I wonder when we see the whole picture, like, wow, you were so wise. I shared with this a few weeks ago about our building and how the Lord's taken what it feels like is an eternity to close on this building. It's actually been only 6 months. I think I kept saying 8 or 9 months. That's just what it felt to me. I'm sorry. I apologize. I looked at the calendar. It's only been 6. But remember, I told you that the Lord one day told me, you need to thank me for that. Look what I've done in your heart through the perseverance of your faith. So when fear rises up, the question should be, God, is there a lie I'm believing about your character? Because I think the Bible says you're pretty trustworthy. So you show me what I'm believing that's not true, because I'm going to war with fear. Because fear is the enemy of yes. And I'm going to say yes all the way into eternity. You know, one of the big ones is if I say yes to the Lord, he's going to embarrass me. Have you ever felt prompted to share your faith and you have that feeling like, oh, this is going to be really embarrassing because I know this person like hates me or whatever. I have definitely had that feeling. And it's almost like, I'm like, Lord, this is so humbling. He's like, don't worry. I'm not trying to hurt your pride. I'm trying to kill it. I love you, Autumn. Don't you see I'm good? Oh, it's so painful. This is so embarrassing. That's good. Number two, enemy of your yes is good old fashioned rebellion. And if you think you don't have any, you probably aren't in touch with your own heart, okay? Rebellion is a plight to the human race, and every person, to the meekest, sweetest, to the loudest and brashest, has to deal with this thing that we call plain old rebellion. Now, I could call it like some sweet name like resistance, independence, self-reliance. But I'm just going to boil it down and just say rebellion. It's a willful determination to do things your own way, and it is real, and it's the challenge of the human race, and you need to know this about yourself. You will crucify that thing by the grace of God. You will get victory over it, and then the Lord will show you a little more, another layer somewhere, and you'll get to do it all over again, and it gets easier and easier as you're like, I will not be a daughter of rebellion. I am not a daughter of rebellion. I am not a daughter of willfulness. I am a daughter of the King. I trust my Lord. I say yes to him. Number three, enemy of a yes heart is a cold heart. When we get out of the place of intimacy with the Lord, out of the place of closeness that could sneak up on us so fast, even when we're diligent to do the stuff, we're reading our Bible, we're praying, you know, we're, it just, you know, it can happen really fast. A busy season, some trauma, you know, some distractions, and all of a sudden we're in that place of coldness. And what I find is when your heart is cold to the Lord, you don't even really know that you're saying no. It's just like you can't hear him anymore, like you're meant to. And so you're like, well, I'm not saying no to him. You're not saying yes to him because you're not hearing him anymore. You're just kind of in your little cold circle, going through the motions, trying to survive. I'm telling you, we have to wage war on a cold heart. We have to wage war when our heart begins to get far and distanced from the Lord. God is faithful. Remember, he's fighting for you. He's fighting for you. I want to end with this. It's Isaiah chapter 6. I've been thinking about Isaiah chapter 6. I've been reading this over and over and over again for my own life. And I just feel like it's a passage the Lord is just echoing to us as a congregation today and in 2018. And it's this amazing passage. I want so much revelation on this. I just want the Lord to open this up to me in fresh ways because I just think there's probably so much here to unpack. But I'm going to read it to you. It's Isaiah 6, verse 1 through verse 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted. So this is the prophet Isaiah. And he, in the year this King Uzziah was just a person, but he's just trying to say in the time frame, okay, when he died, he had this more than a vision experience, okay? It was way more than a vision. He was like there, okay? More than just seeing it in his mind's eye. I saw the Lord high and exalted and seated on a throne. Oh, that God would let us, like, open the heavens and let us see this. The train of the Lord's robe, it filled the whole temple. Above him were seraphim, that's a type of angel, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Literally, these heavenly beings created by God to give praise to God could not look upon the beauty of God. For thousands of years, they've just been flying around, covering their eyes, saying one phrase and never being bored. It's as if every time they circled, they saw another facet of his worthiness. Oh my goodness, holy, holy! He's so holy, he's so holy! Can you imagine this going on for an hour? For 2 hours? Let's try night and day, endlessly, for all of time. We can't wrap our minds around it. Declaring his worthiness. This is the God that we serve. The one that the angels can't even look upon because he's so worthy and holy. At the sound of the seraphim's voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. Then here comes Isaiah. "Woe to me," I cried, "I'm ruined. I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have now seen the King, the Lord Almighty." He literally thought he was going to die. He's not being dramatic. He's not speaking evangelistically. He's, "Woe is me. I am in the presence of holiness that I didn't know existed, and I see every ounce of my own sin. I deserve hell. Why am I here? I'm gonna die." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Friends, this is what Jesus Christ did for us. This is what Jesus did for us in light of, oh my goodness, there's no way we can stand in the presence of God. There's no way we can enter into eternity. He reached down at our cry for help, and he gave us atonement. He gave us forgiveness. He made us clean. And now that he's in this clean state, and if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, redeemed, you are in this same clean state right now, standing before the Lord. It says the curtain was torn, and we can actually boldly come before the Lord to the throne of grace. So I want you to picture yourself. You are there. You are the redeemed. You are the one atoned for if you know Jesus. And you are now standing before the Holy One. And he's got something now he's ready to say to you. Or I should say, you're ready to hear. Because you have the blood of Jesus on you. And the Lord says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Do you think that Jesus may have been thinking about that moment when he said to his disciples, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore, go. I've made you clean. I've redeemed you. You've got the greatest treasure inside of you. You have the greatest power inside of you, the Holy Spirit. I have redeemed you, I have washed you, and I'm giving you my authority, and therefore I now say, go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them, disciple them, do the stuff, cast out the demons, heal the sick. I gave you all you needed to do this stuff. Do you think that when Jesus was saying that, he could have been thinking about that Isaiah moment that was like foreshadowing what Isaiah was experiencing, was foreshadowing what was going to happen on a mass level with the church of Jesus Christ as a whole? When the Lord is still saying, I've got a redeemed, I've got a whole family with my spirit inside of them. So I'm now saying, who will go for me? Who will go for me? Who will say yes? Whom can I send? Whom can I send to their neighbors? Whom can I send to the youth in Huron? Whom can I send to Alpena and Woonsocket and Woolsey and Midland, South Dakota? I love these little towns. And I love in this place where Isaiah now has been made clean and he sees the absolute worthiness of God. If we could just see that, if that could be, I'm praying that all the time now. God, let me see your worthiness. I know you're so worthy of everything. Let me see your worthiness. And in that place where the worthiness of God had been fully stripped back, we hear Isaiah coming forth with, here I am, send me. I don't know why you would, but you asked, so I'll go. Just another ordinary guy who, with everything in him, said, here I am, send me. And right now, at the beginning of a Taking New Ground series, the beginning of a new leaf, as we're going into 2018, as the Lord's, I believe, called every single one of us in some way to be a forerunner in this, to run ahead with him, with the message, I believe he's now saying, who can I send? Who will say yes? Who will say yes? We're going to have a time of response here in a moment. I want to have response for two different things. The first thing, if you are in this room and you really aren't right with the Lord, and you know that, you know, I'm not passionate for God. I am, you know, I kind of go through the motions sometime, or I believe in the Lord, but I cannot say I've given him everything. If you're in this room and you really, what you need to do is you need to come and you need to say that first great big yes, the first of many, the most important one that gets you on the journey. And you know it. You're like, I want to start a new season with God as my Savior, as my Lord, as number one, then I'm going to offer that to you this morning. Actually, the Lord is offering it to you. He's really excited. He wants another daughter. He's really excited about another son in the family. And as excited as Dave and Patty were to go get Akiah, I remember that day all the way. They went, or Patty at least, all because Dave doesn't fly. But Patty went all the way to China to pick up her Chinese princess and bring her home. Times 100 billion, that's God's excitement, because he really wants one more daughter. He just wants one more son. He's going out of his way to invite you again. Won't you just say yes? Won't you come and let me fix the brokenness in you? And that's the first thing we're going to do. Why don't we stand right now? Then after that, I'm going to, anyone who wants to say yes to the Lord. Yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll do anything. Yes, I want the deepest yes I can possibly have. We're just going to come up. We're going to spend some time worshiping in the front. But first of all, if you are here and you know, I'm talking to you and God wants you as a daughter. He wants you as a son and you want to say yes to him. I want you to raise your hand right now. We're just going to, I'm not going to call you forward. We're just going to gather around you where you're at in your seat. You could actually close your eyes even. Everyone, let's close our eyes and just make it real easy on people. Yeah, so if you're here, you want to make that decision, I want you to raise your hand right now. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I see that. Precious person. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Okay. Next, if you want to go into 2018 with the deepest yes you've ever had in all your heart to be part of what God is doing, I want you to come up right now and we're just going to spend some time responding to the Lord in the front, just worshiping and saying, yeah, God. I think sometimes there's something powerful about leaving your chair. Just saying, I'm going to make the trek up here. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about saying yes to God. Fill the front, fill it all the way across. Awesome. Let's just fill it in. Let's, so there's room for others.
worship you. And all I have within me, I give you praise. And all that I adore is in you. So Lord, I give you my heart, and I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, and every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me.
For those of us who are up here, I want you just to turn to someone who's up here, and I want you to pray with them. Let's just bless them. Bless their yes heart. Bless them to do what God wants them to do. If you're in the congregation, you want to come up and pray for people, sure. But if you're up here, I want you to turn and just bless the person next to you. Maybe the Lord will give you a word for them. Maybe you'll give them something encouraging or a picture to share with them. Be one of our very last times having to tear down this room. I know that nobody is going to be heartbroken over that. I'm looking forward to the day where we can just let people go forever. Actually, if you're up here praying, just keep on going. Don't stop. The rest of you, I just want to say God bless you. Hopefully we'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. Every one of you are invited. It's a potluck. Bring something to share. And we're going to celebrate what the Lord's done in 2017. We're just going to do kind of a partial tear down right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to tear down the sound system. We're not putting anything in the nursery, though, because we want to leave the nursery open for this evening for moms that may have nursing children or need to go in there for some reason. So we're just going to put things in the hallway right before.